Do you dread going to work out?
Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Corinthians, right? 2 Corinthians 3:17. That's the whole ball game. Where the Spirit of the Lord, right? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Matthew 7:16 tells us that by their fruits ye shall know them. Donald Trump's life has borne fruit, fruit that has provided jobs to multitudes of people, in addition to the many he has helped with his generosity.
That's Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump and Jerry Falwell Jr., president of Liberty University, speaking there Monday at Liberty. It wasn't an endorsement, but which was really more important, the introduction that Jerry Falwell Jr. gave to Donald Trump or Donald Trump's address there at Liberty? Is this a pickup for Donald Trump? And did the media understand, has it rightly understood what was going on there? It's been portrayed kind of like Jerry Falwell Sr.'s endorsement or non-endorsement of Ronald Reagan back in 1980, was it? Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Terry Mattingly joins us to talk about Donald Trump at Liberty University. A little bit later, Dr. Robert Bennett will be with us. We'll do part two of our series on demon possession and spiritual warfare. Today, spirituality in America. It's far more diverse and dangerous than you think it is. Terry Mattingly is a regular guest. He's Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and he's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be here.
Which was more important, the introduction that Jerry Falwell Jr. gave to Donald Trump or Donald Trump's address at Liberty University?
Well, I mean, if the whole goal is to be able to say at the end of the speech, gosh, I wasn't expecting that, then you would have to say that Falwell's was much more important. I mean, I don't think there was anything in the Trump speech that could have surprised anyone, with the possible exception of his announcement that apparently the U.S. Justice Department or the presidency or the White House directly has the power to force people to say Merry Christmas in department stores. I mean, other than that, there was nothing shocking in it. If you actually know a little bit about his family history, the 2 Corinthians thing was not even shocking, in the sense that instead of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, this is the big, huge, hot media scandal about this. Bobby Ross did a great piece on it at Get Religion. Everybody was saying, oh, he's so stupid about the Bible, he said 2 Corinthians instead of 2. Well, apparently 2 Corinthians is the way that most people refer to epistles in Europe. And Donald Trump grew up going to church with his mother, and his mother was from Europe. But anyway, I digress. Nothing in Trump's speech was all that surprising. Falwell, on the other hand, I think everybody wanted to know, just would he play it straight? I mean, they did such a fantastic job at Liberty of hosting Bernie Sanders, which was, if our listeners have not watched the YouTube of the Bernie Sanders appearance at Liberty, they really should, because it was a fantastic job of handling kind of an academic discussion, of an outside voice coming into your campus. I thought it was done with a lot of class. Whereas the situation with Trump turned a little bit, as one Liberty alum who's now in the national media told me, he said it seemed a little bit more like a political circus. But Falwell's remarks were dead serious, and it was very apparent that he was answering the question, we know a lot about the private life and the attitudes and the pride and some would say the arrogance of Donald Trump. What's he doing here at Liberty? what's he doing here at Liberty on Martin Luther King Day? Talk to us. And so Falwell's introduction, I don't know, this is not getting mentioned in the story. Falwell's introduction is like 16 minutes long. It is, in many ways, there was more content in it than there was in the normal no teleprompter, rambling Trump stump speech of like 45 to 50 minutes. So I'm going to vote for Falwell, and I have a reason for that, and I'll go ahead and offer that to you. I couldn't believe, to some degree, how candid Falwell was about how religious conservatives are upset with having been used for so many years by people who made all kinds of promises to them. Now, it doesn't take a whole lot of political smarts to say that he's mad at the Republican establishment. And I thought that was fascinating, because one of the questions we've all faced this year is, if Trump has a lot of evangelical support, and it would seem he has more evangelical support among kind of marginal evangelicals or occasional evangelicals, as opposed to elite evangelical leaders or even the folks who are super active in their churches, I'm not sure Trump would get a rousing response at a homeschool convention, for example. If there is a lot of evangelical support for Trump, a lot of us have all been trying to picture why. Why are they so supportive of Trump? And it hit me the other day that it's pretty easy to be tempted to anger. And Trump is just totally embracing evangelical anger at this point. And that main focus for that anger, while everybody wants to say the anger is at, say, Barack Obama, and there may be some out there, I think there is just as much evangelical Christian anger today at the Republican Party as there is toward Democratic leadership, for sure. I thought of something that years ago, you remember the big Promise Keepers rally on the National Mall?
Yeah.
Do you remember it got very little media attention at the time until after it happened? It was not covered. The only people who covered it live that day was MSNBC. I know that because, believe it or not, I was a commentator for MSNBC that day. Spent the whole day on the National Mall on the MSNBC desk. I kept trying to tell them all day long, you're missing the story here. Everybody is saying, look how these evangelicals, black, you know, Hispanic and white, how they're all mad at Bill Clinton. They're all mad at Bill Clinton. I said, you're not listening. Listen to what they're saying. They're mad at Newt Gingrich and the Republican leadership for not keeping the promises they've made to them. Bill Clinton hasn't made these people any promises. It's the Republicans who have made these people promises and failed to deliver. And I thought of that while I was listening to the Falwell address the other day. Where have I heard this tone before? And it hit me that that's where I'd heard this tone before. He was admitting that how angry he is at the Republican establishment. And thus, ladies and gentlemen, here's Donald Trump.
So he stops there, he gives his speech, and the press, at least for the first day or so, was treating it like Jerry Falwell, the original Jerry Falwell's endorsement of Ronald Reagan back in 1979-1980.
Right.
What do you make of that?
Well, he didn't endorse him. He gave him a platform. In fact, that was the classic situation where they stood up there and they went, now, of course, we're a nonprofit organization, and we cannot endorse Governor Reagan today. That would be wrong for us to endorse Governor Reagan. And then, of course, the famous line is Reagan gets up there and says, look, I know that you can't endorse me, but I endorse you. The actual famous line from that encounter in Dallas with Reagan and that conservative clergy group was the fact that they couldn't endorse him, but he said, but look, I'm going to endorse what you guys are doing for America. And that's actually exactly what happened at Liberty University this week. Falwell once again got up and said over and over, now we cannot endorse, we do not endorse, and then Trump got up and from beginning to end had nothing but endorsement and praise for Liberty University and what it stands for in America and just went on and on about it. I actually thought there was a tremendous number of parallels between the two, all the way down to Falwell reminding his listeners how much flack that his father took for endorsing this divorced Hollywood guy, giving him a platform instead of Jimmy Carter, who, no matter what people thought of him, it was still, you know, a Southern Baptist Sunday school teacher and someone with a spotless private life, whereas the Reagans had some colorful elements in their past, let's put it, you know, to say the least. So Falwell Jr. even drew that parallel by mentioning it and discussing it in his opening remarks. So I would go ahead and kind of differ there and say there were all kinds of parallels between those two events. Frankly, I thought more reporters should have noted that. I opened my column this week with a reference to the Reagan remarks and deliberately set it up as a parallel to what happened in Lynchburg the other day.
Well, I think what happens here with Donald Trump, and it's kind of his way, he does often emphasize the size of the crowds, you know, standing room only, thousands,
right,
and 10,000, yeah, having to get new venues when they run out of space for this. And I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't, at least in kind of a wink-wink way, say, look, the evangelicals really do love me, in, you know, kind of Donald-esque parlance. Those evangelicals, they love the Trumpster.
Yeah, and he says that. And he said, you know, evangelicals love me and I love you. I thought it was interesting. The New York Times, in one of its stories, kept noting that he called himself a Presbyterian, as if saying that he was a Presbyterian was the opposite of being an evangelical, which I thought was interesting because in New York City right now, I'm in New York right now, and New York City is in the midst of kind of, frankly, a revival of church for young people and for a lot of different congregations. There are amazing, huge, vital congregations in the Big Apple right now, and the best known of them are Presbyterian. And I'm referring, of course, to Redeemer Presbyterian and Tim Keller, you know, the fantastic public evangelical intellectual. He, to some degree, Redeemer has gotten so big here in New York that the growth from Redeemer is spilling over into other congregations, which made me wonder if the New York Times even realizes that in its own city, Presbyterian and evangelical are not the opposite of one another. Although it's clear that Trump means to keep saying, well, hey, guys, I realize I'm not totally one of you. I'm a mainline Presbyterian, you know, but I love you anyway, you know. And so the media is kind of following along with that shtick.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about Donald Trump's visit to Liberty University on this Wednesday afternoon, January the 20th. Stay tuned. You'll find descriptions of real events and actual confessions of demonic encounters in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare in America. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Robert Bennett. Afraid is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare in America.
Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, Visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Donald Trump's visit to Liberty University and the media coverage of it. Terry Mattingly is our guest, senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, is this a pickup for Donald Trump, since he is going to, you know, make good use of this? Should this be covered as a pickup for him?
Well, let me go back to you and I's conversation last week. Do you remember that I hit you with some questions last week, and I mentioned that in the Get Religion article about the podcast? Remember I asked you the question, remember the Russell Moore said that right at this moment in history, Trump is the candidate of the swaggered evangelicals, and Senator Cruz is the candidate of the Falwell evangelicals, and Rubio is the candidate of the Billy Graham evangelicals. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And I asked you, at this point, could you see the Rubio evangelicals voting for Trump? And if I remember, you kind of said, that would be hard. And I said, but could you picture the Cruz evangelicals voting for Trump?
And yes.
And I think the answer to that is yes. And if the Cruz evangelicals, in Russell Moore's view, are the Falwell evangelicals, what we saw yesterday was the first strong tip of the hat. I mean, remember, didn't Cruz announce his candidacy at Liberty?
I don't recall.
I believe that he made his announcement that he was running for president in a speech at Liberty. He's been very much associated with Liberty in many ways, and of course his background is Texas bulletproof Bible Belt religion, as opposed to Trump, which, you know, is the Trump Tower and Vegas and gambling and the whole thing. So what we saw this week was perhaps the first tip of the hat that when push comes to shove, the two camps that will unite, no matter how much their candidates are kind of knocking each other, the folks that would unite their armies would be the Trump evangelicals and the Cruz evangelicals. And if that's the case, friends and neighbors, that's news. But it also means that the evangelical establishment, just like the Republican Party establishment, is left on the outside looking in. And that's stunning.
You quote from, I think it's a New York Times op-ed piece, where Russell Moore said his reaction, and typically pithy, trading in the gospel of Jesus Christ for political power is not liberty, but slavery. And he's talking about Trump would force religious conservatives to repudiate everything they believe. What do you make of that reaction?
The main thing, you want me to respond theologically or politically?
Both, I guess.
Well, let's go politically. I think one of the things that's being hinted there is that the Republican candidate should speak Spanish. That to some degree, to have a chance to take the White House in this election, running away a sizable number of conservative Catholic, Assembly of God, Pentecostal, and Baptist Latino voters doesn't make a lot of sense. Why not keep them? And then for theological reasons, there are good theological reasons for feeling that way. There's been tremendous progress in the last decade or so, basically post-Promise Keepers. There's been a tremendous amount of reconciliation among Black Christians, Latino Christians, and the leadership of the mainstream evangelical organizations. It's not that the mainstream evangelicals are calling for open borders or something like this, but they are definitely saying, we have got to handle this in a way that's fair, compassionate, and takes into account that we don't need to break up families. In other words, they've been striving to find a centrist position on immigration that they can share to some degree with, like, the Catholic Church, for example. That's not exactly Trump's approach, wouldn't you say?
To what degree was his appearance there at Liberty, in your opinion, aimed at Ted Cruz?
I think it was just aimed at the conservative, the most conservative half of the evangelical world, at which point Liberty has established itself as kind of the place that the road to the White House includes a stop at Liberty. I mean, and even if you're a candid, open-minded liberal who doesn't mind having conversations, tolerant conversations with people who oppose you, you can go to Liberty too. Why not get yourself some press coverage and get a reputation for talking to people who disagree with you? I mean, at this point, the only person who I would be shocked to see speak at Liberty right now would be Hillary.
Why?
Because she is not Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton could go to Liberty and speak and feel totally comfortable. He would get up there and he would handle it. He would joke about himself. He would talk about how many pastors he's let down in the past. And he would feel totally comfortable in his skin standing up there in front of the audience at Liberty. And he wouldn't have the meeting out of his hand, but Bill Clinton had the political skills and the personal comfort level to handle it. Bill Clinton really is from the Bible Belt and spent X number of years in a choir robe in a Baptist church and knows what that's all about. Hillary? Hillary is an upper echelon, Northeast, small, liberal, feminist college, United Methodist, blue blood. And I can't think of anywhere in the world she would be less comfortable, outside of some courtrooms that we could name, than at Liberty. I mean, she wouldn't know what to do. She wouldn't know what accent to use in her voice. She wouldn't know who to quote. I think she'd be lost standing at that podium.
One final question here, kind of just looking ahead, and again, it's kind of a political question. If Donald Trump makes it past Iowa and New Hampshire, he's going to have to face the Bible Belt.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about this around here off mic in the studio a couple days ago about does Trump get any traction whatsoever in the Bible Belt? Will Reagan Democrats, for that matter, be able to see their way through to voting for him? Do you expect him to be fondly remembering his visit to Liberty University if he gets past New Hampshire and Iowa?
He's sure going to be quoting it a lot. I think right now, a lot of folks have been saying that they have no idea what's going to happen, that they simply can't picture the Republican Party nominating a man as unqualified for the presidency as Donald Trump, that they really can't picture it. And they say, well, they nominated Reagan. Folks, a guy with a couple of terms as governor of one of the most complex and powerful states in America is not politically unqualified. Whatever you thought of Ronald Reagan, and I wasn't a huge fan, I'll be real honest, he had all kinds of political qualifications compared to Donald Trump, right? So at this point, aren't you waiting for some shoe to drop? I mean, like some meeting to be held where the kind of the conservative establishment, this is not just the country club libertarian soft on social issues Republicans who are freaking out right now. The conservative mainstream Republican Party is freaking out. I'll go further than that. Pro-life, pro-First Amendment, cultural conservative Republicans are freaking out right now and not sure what they want to do. If anything, right now, the religious right is freaking out because it can't see voting for Trump. this is just a really interesting and unprecedented situation. Could you imagine? I mean, okay, it's election day. The two candidates are Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders. What you going to do? You don't have to answer that question, but just stop and think about it.
I'm going to pull the covers over my head and go back to sleep is what I'm going to do.
I'm going to start investigating real estate like in Australia. I don't know. I mean, at that point, I can remember pro-life Democrat friends of mine saying that the first time they voted for a Republican, they carried their children into the voting box so that the child could pull the lever so that they could walk out knowing their hands were still clean. They felt that dirty, that unclean, having voted for a Republican. How do you think those people are going to feel trying to choose, I mean, morally conservative, mainstream American voters? How about pro-life Catholics who are actually kind of liberal progressives on a lot of issues? How do you think they're going to feel making that choice? Or even if it's Hillary, in fact, to me, Hillary versus Trump is worse than Sanders versus Trump. Just coming from my point of view as a pro-life Democrat, we're in an amazing situation. And I think anybody who tells you that they know what's going to happen is just crazy.
Is that a story that needs to be covered? Is that the story that they need to start getting ready to cover? Number one, the freak out that you mentioned before, kind of across the board among evangelicals and various factions of the Republican Party over Trump's staying power. And then that question, which is, what are you going to do if you face that particular choice on Election Day?
Yeah. I mean, let's just back up an election and compare. With Romney, everybody was talking about, well, can we vote for a Mormon? Can we vote for a Mormon? Whatever. But wouldn't you say that Mitt Romney was a highly qualified candidate?
Yes.
For the presidency, under any conventional sense. Wouldn't you say that even by temperament, I would say that by temperament, he was a more qualified candidate than John McCain?
Certainly.
In many ways, in terms of someone who could put coalitions together and work with other people, et cetera. Look at what we're facing right now, in terms of political choices in both parties. You know, with your audience and this audience, we're talking a lot to people who probably think of themselves as culturally conservative Republicans or something for a second. Just try to imagine yourself backstage right now at a meeting of, say, the U.S. Catholic Bishops Conference. And look at their whole agenda in terms of pro-life, immigration, health care, the poor, etc. You're a good, sharp, articulate, intelligent Roman Catholic bishop, and you're thinking about choosing what to do between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton?
Terry Mattingly is senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City. He's author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate. He's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
Okay, thanks a bunch.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Robert Bennett, author of the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for January, Afraid, Demon Possession, Spiritual Warfare in America, part two of our series with him on that subject, Spirituality in America, right after this. Standing firm in a hostile world is the theme of the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, February 5th and 6th. This confessional Lutheran conference features Issues Etc. guest Adam Francisco, David J. Weber, Joe Abrahamson, attorney Mark Stern, and Professor Alan Quist. If you're in Texas or would like some warmer weather in February, check out the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, February 5th and 6th at faithlutheransa.org, faithlutheransa.org.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Throughout the history of the United States, we as a country have enjoyed our catchphrases from give me liberty or give me death to today's classic, it is what it is. TV commercials have added such classics as where's the beef to eat fresh. Here at St. Mark Lutheran Church in Edmond, Oklahoma, we do not resort to catchphrases. Here we are about growing God's family by preaching God's word, by administering the sacraments, and building up God's people. So the next time you find yourself in central Oklahoma on a Sunday morning, come join the friendly folks at St. Mark in Edmond. You'll be glad you did. This is most certainly true.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.